This week, an historic New South Wales state budget was handed down by Treasurer Dominic Perrottet. Today, the opposition leader, Jodie McKay, handed down her budget reply. She criticised the Berejiklian government's budget for continuing privatisation and not providing any assistance for women, amongst other things. Tina Quinn asked Jodie McKay whether this budget was too short-term focused.
I've tried to be constructive through this whole pandemic and recession, and I'm not going to change for that. The issue for us is the only kind of long-term thing that he was looking at is the sort of stamp duty reform. But we have to actually start to do things differently in New South Wales. So, for instance, they have a $70 billion infrastructure spend. Now, most of those transport projects, if not all of them, they've actually been shipped offshore. So we have our trains and our buses, we have our light rail, our ferries, all of them creating jobs offshore. But it's my belief that we should actually be looking at what we do here and how we use the procurement power of government to achieve that. So we've put a bill before the parliament, and I spoke about it today in my speech, which is about mandating New South Wales jobs in projects. So not just creating jobs if you build something, but it's about saying what are the downstream jobs, the supply chain jobs that are actually going to be generated. And one example of that, Tina, is this week we had the Metro West project announced. Now, there was no commitment from the government to use New South Wales steel in that, even though, you know, we've got world-leading BlueScope in the Illawarra. It's just, for me, we have to start thinking about how we do it differently. If we're going to build a school, then what is the best commitment we can make to using local product and services in that? And when the government makes that decision now, they look at the cheapest option, but what they don't consider is the jobs that are created, the money that flows into local communities, the people who get a job, who have the dignity of work, and they're the things that I think government should be looking at, and this should be a whole longer-term approach.
Before handing down your budget response today, you promised that a Labor budget would put jobs at the centre of economic recovery in New South Wales. What can we look to in your budget that ensures this?
Yeah, look, I think it's about also for us as a party and me as Labor leader thinking about, well, what is Labor Party? Well, what is Labor in a contemporary sense? In 2020, what is Labor? And we're always going to stand for, you know, social equity. We're always going to fight hard for climate change. We're always going to make sure that the environment is front and centre. But we are the Labor Party. And so our focus has to be on workers' pay and conditions, but we have to be focused on jobs. Unless people have the dignity of work, unless we're looking at not just returning people to work out of this pandemic, but actually creating work for them. Let me give you another example. So we've got Badgerys Creek in the Erythropolis, massive project, one of the biggest we'll see in Sydney in a very, very long time. But there's no job guarantees around that. So we want to mandate, again, procurement that looks at New South Wales made in that project. Now, that would have to be done in consultation with the Commonwealth, with local government. But, you know, wouldn't it be terrific if those 1 in 5 young people in Blacktown who are currently unemployed, and that's what that unemployment rate is there, 1 in 5 young people in parts of Western Sydney do not have a job. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually guarantee young people a job or education or training out of that investment that will go into that Erythropolis? We have to start looking at things differently. The same way is not working. And when we saw the borders closed and we realised that trade was shut off, we actually then exposed some of the real structural issues, I think, within the New South Wales economy.
Women have also been disproportionately affected in this recession, with 132,000 women out of work across New South Wales.
Yeah.
How does your proposed budget differ for women compared to what the Berejiklian government handed down?
That's a really good question. And I was disappointed not to hear the Treasurer actually talk a lot more about the women who are there. So the government announced this $10 million pool of money that will provide grants to women that don't have a job. But they're grants of up to 5,000, but that means 2,000 women. And it means that I think 130 other thousand women won't actually receive anything. So we have to start with early childhood education first. So we've pushed in New South Wales, the New South Wales government funds preschools only. So we can control that. And there are 40,000 young people who attend preschools, children who attend mostly community-run preschools. And if we can actually get women and men back into work by supporting a family, by ensuring there is a focus on early childhood development, but it's free, then you kind of achieve a win-win. We pushed the government to do this during the pandemic, and we pushed them to extend it in September. And now they've agreed during their budget, because we pushed it, and I mentioned it in mine today because we've been talking about this for a long time, that they've now agreed to do it for another 12 months. I actually believe, given, you know, we've got JobKeeper ending in March, it's probably more 18 months that this needs to go. But if we've got to fight for that last 6 months, then we will do that when we get to that point.
During your budget response, you commented that our current state government puts property developers first. What are some examples that you're pointing to in this criticism?
Well, I think you've only got to look at what's unfolding at the moment at Camellia. So the government has its light rail project. It's proceeding with stage one, which is Parramatta Light Rail, and stage two was then to extend to Sydney Olympic Park. They've suddenly abandoned that in recent weeks, and the minister has been dithering about this all week and won't make up his mind or won't be honest about where this project is up to. We think they've cancelled it. In fact, we're pretty sure they've cancelled it. But you've got to remember, around areas like Wentworth Point, there are tens of thousands of people that are moving into that area that now don't have public transport, and they bought on that promise. But around Camellia, the government was looking at a stabling yard, and they were thinking about compulsory acquiring property. They ended up making a direct purchase. They paid $54 million for that, but just 3 months earlier, the developer they bought it off bought it for $15 million cheaper. So the developer itself made $15 million, and the land is contaminated to the point that it's now worthless. That matter has been referred to the Independent Commission Against Corruption. We've seen Transport Department that now doesn't have a head. The secretary resigned. We've got questions we've asked in the Parliament today. But I think with this government, my frustration is that there are just too many questions about integrity. There are too many questions here for me. I mean, I went back into politics after losing my seat in Newcastle because I wanted politics to be so much better. And what I've seen, unfortunately, is a real undermining of integrity and honesty in government. You know, we've seen the Premier, obviously, before the Independent Commission Against Corruption. She knew what Darryl Maguire was doing. She knew she was in a relationship and should have disclosed it under the Ministerial Code of Conduct. There are just too many things happening, Tina, that really bother me. And I put a number of integrity measures before the Parliament over the last couple of weeks. We'll debate those when we get back next year.
Earlier this week, you also criticised the Premier for going back on a promise she made at the last election not to continue privatising public assets.
Yeah.
Are there any more public assets that are likely to be privatised as a result of this budget?
Yeah, so there's two they've identified. One is the rest of the state lotteries, and the other is the Sydney 49% that the government has in the Sydney Motorway Corporation, which is effectively WestConnex. It's interesting because the Treasurer has been spooking the benefit and golden goose of borrowing, and we agree, you know, interest rates are really low, borrowing seems to make sense. But I asked him a question in the House yesterday, and I said to him, if borrowing is so great, why are you then still selling assets? And he really couldn't answer that question. It was, you could tell that he was really struggling with trying to explain it. So for me, you know, it's just ideological. That's what they do. But we had $2.7 billion in dividend revenue that was being generated back in 2013, and we've lost so much of that. But the Premier did make a commitment in the lead up to the election. She was asked about it, and she said, if we were, then we would tell you. That was her direct quote. And of course, that was then, this is now, and she hasn't told anyone. Well, she certainly didn't tell the truth then, and now we're facing more privatisation.
And lastly, Jody, just to pivot a bit, there's been some great bipartisan support for the New South Wales government's electricity infrastructure project. So your own party, the Liberal Party, the Greens have all come together to support this issue. What's your own position on this?
Yeah, it's really interesting you say this. So I'm at Parliament right now, and we've got a bit of drama unfolding, to be honest, because the energy infrastructure bill is stuck in the upper house, and it looks like we may have to come back next week because the government is not going to get it through. So they've got a bill up there, local land services bill, and that bill is the Nationals' attempt to, you know, around the whole koala issue. So we're opposing that bill, which is about, you know, further land clearing. We won't accept that. But there's now a kind of war waging again between the Nationals and the Liberals. And so this great energy reform bill, which is about, you know, creating renewable energy precincts, seeing $30 billion in private investment and government supportive of that, that's just, it's sort of all come to a grinding halt. So it's gone through our house. We just don't know where it is in the upper house at the moment.
Jody McKay, New South Wales opposition leader, speaking there with Tina Quinn.